Please and turn to the book of Romans. I really desire that you follow the word. I might be leading you astray, God forbid, but you need to be checking it out in the word. My responsibility is to be faithful for the word, and your responsibility is to check me out. So have your Bibles open, and if you would like to have that bulletin open to the middle page, we're looking at the subject of spiritual gifts this morning in the book of Romans. Let's ask God's help. Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray that as we come to your word today, this would be rich and practical and life-changing for us. We pray that we, as we come to your word today, we would desire to be those channels of blessing. We would desire to be like you. We would desire that you reach out to others. Fill us, Lord, with the desire that comes from you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been doing a series in the book of Romans called Truth in a Nutshell, and in Romans 12, we're starting to look at the subject of spiritual gifts, and this is the second message on the subject. The first one was a couple of Sundays back. Nolan and I were away last Sunday, and David took the message, but this carries on from two Sundays ago. I think most of you would remember Dorothy Ball, who died just over a year ago. Dorothy reminded me a little bit of that character in Scripture by the name of Dorcas. You have a verse there on your sheet, Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. At Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. I want you to underline that. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, loving deeds, good works, which she did. As you remember Dorothy, what spiritual gift would you say that she had? Would it have been a gift of helps? Would it have been a gift of mercy? Would it have been a gift of service or ministry? I wonder if we took a survey amongst the brethren here, what we would come up with. I think she may well have had all of those gifts. She may have. Is that what we would say about Dorcas? We see some similarities between Dorothy and Dorcas. Dorcas was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. The scripture doesn't state Dorcas's spiritual gift, but it does state what she did. And presumably, as she was exercising her spiritual gift, she was able to do the works described there in Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. And it was outstanding. It was so outstanding that the Spirit of God chose to remember the charitable deeds and the good works which Dorcas did, as no doubt she exercised her spiritual gift. We need to know about spiritual gifts, for we ought, each one of us, we ought to know our own spiritual gift, and we ought to be helping each other determine what each other's spiritual gift is. We ought to be helping others find theirs. Paul's thought flow in Romans 12. Now, Romans 12 begins the practical section of the book of Romans. And his thought flow in Romans is dedication, service, and then spiritual gifts, using spiritual gifts. And in fact, as we use our spiritual gifts, those other two components must be there. There must be service, there must be dedication. In Romans chapter 12 and verses 6 to 8, he tells us how to use our spiritual gifts, or more to the point, to use our spiritual gifts. And he gives a number of examples. We pick it up, Romans 12 and verse 6. Having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. That's the gift of service. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts or preaches, it could be, in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We said that last time, before we can learn how to use our spiritual gift, and Paul does give us some clues there in those verses, we need to answer two fundamental questions. The first fundamental question that we answered last time on the 23rd of December are sign gifts for today? And then the second fundamental question is, what is my spiritual gift? And then, once we know what our spiritual gift is, we can learn a bit more how to use it. Last time, we answered the question, are sign gifts for today? And what we learnt was that the gift of apostleship has passed away and the other sign gifts associated with it also. So today we need to answer the second fundamental question, what is my spiritual gift? Now, some of you may already know your spiritual gift, but you need this message too, because each of us needs to be helping the rest of the body of Christ identify what their spiritual gift is. How do we help ourselves and how do we help others find their spiritual gift? Well, there are five factors to consider in determining your spiritual gift. Now, this all assumes that you're saved. This assumes that you have the Holy Spirit. If you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit. And a good question to ask is, do you have the Holy Spirit? In other words, are you saved? And if you have the Holy Spirit, you certainly have a gift of the Holy Spirit, or gifts of the Holy Spirit. The first factor to consider in determining your spiritual gift or determining others' spiritual gift is, it won't be a sign gift or a talent. Let's rule out some things that won't be a spiritual gift in our time. Your spiritual gift will not be a sign gift. Now, the reasons for this we discussed at length last time. If you haven't heard that message, I pray that you take time to download it and listen to it. Since your spiritual gift will not be a sign gift, you won't have a gift of apostleship. You won't have a gift of prophecy. You won't have a gift of miracles or healing, tongues or interpretation of tongues. And secondly, your spiritual gift will not be a talent. I want us to understand the difference between a spiritual gift and a talent. Your spiritual gift is not a talent. A talent is something that you're born with. And so everyone on planet Earth, presumably, has some kind of talent. Whether you're saved or whether you're not saved, you have these talents. You might be good at sport. You might be very intelligent, or you might be good at art or music. There is some talent that God gave you at the time you were born. A talent is given you by God at birth, whilst a spiritual gift is given by God at spiritual birth, when the Holy Spirit comes in. Now, talents are not spiritual gifts, but like spiritual gifts, they should be dedicated to God to be used in service to the living God. Sadly, most people on planet Earth do not know that their talents are, they don't even recognize there is a God. Many people on planet Earth, or they worship some other God than the true and living God, so they cannot dedicate their talents to God as in the way that they should. But that is the point of the parable of the talents that Joshua read for us a little bit earlier. Just to highlight that, Matthew 25 and verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man travelling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability." Talents according to ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Well, the one that was given 5 talents, as you know that parable well, returned 5 more talents. And the one that was given 2 talents used his talents for his master, and he returned 2 more talents. And the master said, "Good and faithful servants," to each of those servants. But one servant hid his talent. He did not use his talent for the master, but he hid his talent. And so he had no results from his talent. Matthew 24:25 and verse 24 says, "Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest.'" There is something that he should have done with the talent that his master had given him. Now, talents aren't spiritual gifts, but they are to be used alongside with spiritual gifts as we seek to serve God, as we are dedicated to God. For example, let's take Dorothy. We can't embarrass her now, so we can take her as an example. Dorothy had a car, and she could drive. Now, that's a driving as a talent that many people in our society have. That's not true all around the world, but she was able to drive. And she had, let's say, for example, a gift of mercy. So Dorothy often combined her talent of being able to drive, that was dedicated to her, to God, with her gift of mercy, which was also dedicated to God. And she used those two talents of driving and mercy in serving others. This church recognized that. And it also recognized that Dorothy was alone, having no husband. And so we gave her a car allowance so that she could exercise her gift on behalf of this local church. Now that's normal. That's proper. As we serve God, we're going to be using both our spiritual gifts and our talents. Everything that we have and we are should be dedicated to Him. But please recognize there is a difference between a talent given at birth and a spiritual gift given at spiritual birth. The second factor to consider in determining yours and others' spiritual gift is your spiritual gift will be a serving or a speaking gift. It will be a serving gift or it will be a speaking gift. Now, the biblical information about speaking and serving gifts we extracted from Romans chapter 12 that we're in, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. We did that last time. The speaking gifts are teaching, exhortation, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, evangelism, pastor teacher. You can see why they're called speaking gifts, because they all involve speaking. And then the serving gifts are ministry or serving, that can also be translated serving, giving, leadership, mercy, faith, discerning spirits, helps, and administrations. The gifts that God gives His people in our present age will be one or more of those. So your spiritual gift will be one or more of those. Just as a talented person is obvious, a gifted person will be obvious, especially as they develop that gift. The sign gifts didn't need development because they were miraculous and sign gifts. But speaking and serving gifts do need development. Just as a talent needs to be developed, so our spiritual gifts need to be developed. Some of the commonest gifts would include helps and ministry, which is also called service. Helps and service would be probably two of the commonest gifts because they are the power of the church. They are what enable this local church to walk with Christ. But I won't be able to identify your gift, or no one else will be able to identify your gift until we see you exercise it. You must be exercising your gift for it to become apparent to others that you have a gift. Can you identify someone with a musical talent before they sit down and play? Just by looking at them, can you tell that they have a talent for music? I don't think so. Nor can we identify someone with a gift of leadership or a gift of administration until they lead in something or until they administer something. We need to see you exercising your gift before we realize it. The third factor to consider in determining your spiritual gift is the key one. It is dedication. It is dedication. So we need to know our spiritual gifts, what the spiritual gifts are, but the key here is dedication. Now, Romans 12 is the beginning of the practical section of Romans. And that section is about dedication. In verse 1, Paul tells us that our bodies ought to be dedicated to service. Romans 12 and verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We have dedicated bodies to serve. Then in verse 2, we find out that we ought to have dedicated minds to be renewed in mind by the word of God. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then we need to have dedicated wills, according to the second part of verse 2, because God's will is good and perfect and acceptable. Verse 2 says, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then fourthly, our gifts need to be dedicated to God in verses 3 through 6. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, that's sensibly, that's rightly, that's truly. Think truly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. If you have a gift, you should not deny it. Oh no, I can't really do that. We should be able to say, yes, praise God, he has given that to me. Not to think yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Yes, let's use our gifts. Let's use them for God, dedicated to God. You cannot discover your spiritual gift until you begin to serve. You could know the lists of the spiritual gifts back to front, but until you're involved in the programs and ministries of this local church, you will not discover your spiritual gift. Until we can get a new Christian to begin helping, we will that person, that new Christian, will not discover their spiritual gift. Until we get our children and teens involved in the work of God, they are not going to discover their spiritual gift. When Nolan and I were in Central Australia a little bit earlier this year, we visited the Aboriginal community of Nyapri. There was an old lady who regularly works at the Nyapri Art Centre who had just begun to paint. And she has an amazing talent for painting. I could not afford to buy her paintings. They sell for thousands and tens of thousands of dollars. She is a very talented artist, but she did not discover her talent until she started to paint. Even Sally Ann, a Christian Aboriginal lady in that community, did not discover her ability, her talent to paint, until she started to paint in her 30s. You will not discover your spiritual gifts by doing a questionnaire or some type of spiritual gift inventory. Do you think the Roman church or the Corinthian church had that? No, of course not. They and we discover our spiritual gift by trying every ministry, trying every service opportunity that comes our way. Offer yourself for service whenever there is a need. Now, just because you didn't have a talent to do something doesn't mean that you don't have a spiritual gift to do that. For example, if you weren't good at speaking in front of the class at school, doesn't mean that you don't have a speaking gift. If you've got saved since the time you were at school, as happened to me, and I certainly wasn't good at speaking to my class in school, doesn't mean you don't have a spiritual gift, a speaking gift. Or if you have never led anything before, doesn't mean you don't have a gift of leadership. You don't know until you try. Or how would you know if you had a gift of administration if you've never administered anything? You won't know until you seek to serve God. The key here, the key to knowing your gift, is dedication of service to God. Body is to be dedicated to God. Mind is to be dedicated to God. Our will is to be dedicated to God, and our spiritual gifts, that's this whole flow of this passage here, are to be dedicated to God. Then as you serve, be aware of a gift that may be developing. It's going to be a speaking gift or it's going to be a serving gift. The fourth factor to help you discern your spiritual gift is your spiritual burden. Your spiritual burden. The principle here is simple. It is the same God who chooses the gift that you have, who burdens you for ministry that's going to involve using that gift. What was Dorcas's burden? Dorcas's burden was to help those around her. If there was some need, she was burdened to meet that need. And as she sought to do that, she demonstrated such extraordinary gifts that the New Testament records. This is a beautiful example of how important what some would consider lesser gifts like serving, helping, or gifts of mercy, how important these gifts are. Acts chapter 9 and verse 37. Let's emphasize this. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to him. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made. Now, tunics and garments, she obviously had a talent for sewing, making articles of clothing, didn't she? And she combined that with her gift of mercy or helps to serve God. The widows stood by weeping, showing tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, arise." When she had opened her eyes, when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he called all the saints and widows, he presented her alive and became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Well, there's some other things going on there, but we see a lady who was so greatly appreciated because she was exercising her spiritual gifts as she followed her burden. What was Paul's burden? Paul's burden was to take the gospel to the regions beyond where people had not heard of Christ. Romans 15 and verse 20, if you flip over a couple of pages, it says, Paul says, I made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. His burden was to take the gospel to the regions beyond. So when Paul acted on that burden, was he exercising his gift of apostleship? Absolutely. You see, the God who burdens also gifts for the task. So instead of asking, what is my spiritual gift? Ask is what is my burden? And then be dedicated enough to follow through on that burden. Come on. You are surely burdened for something. If at all Christ is working in our lives, we ought to be burdened for something. Somebody might come and say to me, why don't we have a Christian radio ministry in the mountains? Well, if you did come and say that to me, you'd be the only one who ever did, and I suspect it is because God has burdened you for a Christian radio ministry in the mountains. Or you might come to me and say, I'm really concerned for the young people of Hazelbrook. Good. God is probably telling you that you should be involved in helping the young people of Hazelbrook. Or you might say, why isn't anybody visiting the prisoners at Lithgow? Actually, a comment like that reveals that you have a burden for the prisoners at Lithgow. Have you considered that God might be asking you to be the one to go to them? Now, I'm not advocating a Christian radio ministry in the mountains, and I'm not advocating a prison ministry at Lithgow. We really ought to, of course, have a youth ministry. But what I'm saying is, if you think this church is missing something, it may be because God is burdening you for that ministry. Are we missing something? There's sure a lot of things we're not doing. And if you see we're missing something, is God burdening you for that particular ministry? If you're relatively new here, don't suppose for a minute that we're doing all the ministries we want to do or could do. God may well have brought you to this fellowship because he had a particular work for you to do amongst this fellowship and out there in the community to fulfill a need. The question is, what is your burden? It'd be good to go home and write down, what is your inner heart burden? Come and talk to me. I want to do anything I can to help you to get started. For example, if you said, I really want to start a prison ministry in Lithgow, but I don't know where to start, then I'd say, okay, I'll come with you. Let's go and meet with the whoever is in charge out there. Let's go and meet with the prisoners. I haven't done prison ministry before, but I've sure shared the gospel before, and I'd like to go and help you. I would go and help you find resources about prison ministry. I know the bloke who I'd ring straight away to ask for some advice, and I probably, not necessarily, but probably have a contact in other areas, whatever that ministry is. Why would I do those things? Because that's my role. I'm to help you in the ministries, and you are to do the ministries. I am to help you to do the ministry that God has given you to do. That's what Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 says. It says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why did he give these particular gifts? For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So God has given certain men with speaking gifts to equip others so that they can do the work of the ministry. I'm meant to train you. I'm meant to help you to get going. Now, there's just a couple of restraints on that. Number one, every ministry in this church must work within the doctrine and standards of this church. Now, that shouldn't be too hard because the doctrines and standards of this church are only biblical doctrines and standards. Number two, new ministries can be piloted to see if they are going to work or not. But if there's going to be an ongoing ministry, the church body as a whole has a right to approve or disapprove of a new ministry. This brings the body together to pray, to give, to offer helpers for that ministry. For no ministry is a lone ranger ministry. Ministries are part of the body life of this church and involve the whole body. And the third constraint would be in day-to-day running, every ministry of this church is under the leadership of this church. And normally, I wouldn't need to get involved in ministries unless there's some issue. But I want ministries to be burden-driven. Normally, they will be run by the person or persons who are burdened for that particular ministry. Now, some of our ministries are in need of leadership and they're in need of personnel. But I'm not going to be standing out the front calling for volunteers for ministries, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that God would burden people. I'm going to pray that God would prepare people for those ministries. And then as God burdens you and you come forward, God has placed you in that ministry. Volunteers, I suppose I'll be a Sunday school teacher. No one else is doing it. That kind of thing is not that helpful. We need people who are, number one, dedicated to God, and number two, burdened for that particular ministry. Dedicated and burdened. So, dear brother and sister, as you act on your burdens, you will discover your spiritual gift. The fifth factor to help discern your gift or others' gifts is the body of Christ. Now, I've already been hinting that the body of Christ should be involved. But if you are gifted, the body of Christ should recognize it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14, "For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they're all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor, and our presentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." So each part of the body recognizes the function of the other parts of the body. Some members here may say, "Well, because I cannot speak up front, I'm not part of the body." But the rest of the body recognizes that we won't be able to see without your discernment, or we won't have the power to walk in service without your gifts of help or your gifts of service. So then, just as a human body recognizes the function of the other parts of the body, so the body of Christ recognizes the giftedness and the function of other parts of the body of Christ. Now, as we watch each other serve, and as we see someone doing a good job at something, we ought to encourage them. We ought to give them feedback. It's this encouragement and feedback that helps them identify their gifts. They're trying something. They're trying this. They're trying that. And they say, wow, you really did a good job there. Praise God. And that might be a clue to them that they're gifted in that area. We must know the speaking and serving gifts so that we can recognize them. And we'll do some more on this another time. Recognize them in selves and others. Okay, let's see how this works. As Nolan and I returned from Africa, 20 years ago now, 1993, we had a burden to church plant. I had the opportunity to go back into medicine, but we weren't burdened that way. Then an opportunity came up at Hazelbrook. As we prayed, the Lord led us here. Now, I'm convinced that with a burden to church plant, God gives the enabling. He gives the gifts to be able to do that job. When God called Moses, even though Moses thought he couldn't speak, God enabled him to speak. When God called Nehemiah, he gave Nehemiah the ability to build, although all he'd been was a cupbearer over there in Babylon. And when God when God called Paul, he gave Paul the extraordinary gift of apostleship. So when God calls, God equips, God gives the gifts. Let's look at Ephesians 4:11 again. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and so on. You are indeed equipped for the work of the ministry, and so am I. So when God burdened us to church plan and led us here, he also equipped us and enabled us for the work. But I really think it's up to you, more than me, to say what my spiritual gift is. And it's really up to me, more than you, to say what your spiritual gift is. It should be recognized by the body. I'm to do the same for you. I'm to watch as you serve and encourage you. As you are burdened and dedicated and serving, you'll probably get an inkling what your spiritual gift is, but it should be confirmed by the body of Christ. For this to work, we all need to be noticing what each other do, and we need to be encouraging each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. When we function that way, we'll all know our spiritual gifts. Could you imagine a church where 90% or more of the people are functioning with their spiritual gifts? Could you imagine the power in that church? It will greatly strengthen body life if every one of us was using their spiritual gift. Amen? Sounds good to me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take your people today. And as they've listened to the message, as they've heard the word of God, I pray they say, yes, I dedicate myself, body, mind, will, and spiritual gifts to you, Lord. They're all yours. My talents are yours. My life is yours. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. But you gave your life for me, and I give my life to you. Here it is, all of it, Lord. Use me to your glory. I want to serve you. I pray, Lord, that that would be the heart cry of every single Christian here this morning. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, as people enter into this, as they desire to be used of you in ministering to each other and to the world, Lord, that you would give a strength to this body. You would give a vitality to this body. You would make us a lighthouse that the community cannot ignore. Oh, Lord, shine your light out from this place. Help us to encourage each other and build up each other as we are already beginning to do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.